may be seated, if you would, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 as we continue our look at prayer and our profound need for God and our dependency on God in every moment of every day. All of us at some time or another have seen a baby who's been hurt. That first cry goes up, and then there is this pause as they suck in their breath and hold it for what seems like eternity to only burst forth another cry. And that gap in the middle seems like an eternity. The Puritan writers write about that gap. They called it the dark night of the soul. Those moments in times that are incredible and indescribable, when life overwhelms us and we are overpowered, and like that baby, the breath and prayer is sucked right out of us. And we don't know what to do, and we don't know where to go, and we seem lost. August 3rd, 1986, you know, I've mentioned this so many times, that moment in time when I got a call from a friend, a missionary friend, and said my mother had died, and I dropped the phone. And the life was sucked out of me. I could barely talk to my brother, let alone pray. And everything seemed to spin out of control. Some of us have been in those spots that are horrific like that. The policeman knocks on the door, tells a parent that their child has died in an accident. The husband hears from his wife's own lips of an affair she's having that she no longer loves him. The wife discovers her husband living a double life. That diagnosis that comes with the word terminal. The sorrow and the pain of the past, seemingly long forgotten, begins to rear its ugly head and encroach on our senses until we begin to feel sucked into this dark hole and we can't reverse course. And those are the profound moments, but in some way, shape, or form, those moments are those moments that remind us that in every aspect of our life, in every single day, in joy and in sorrow, we are profoundly in need of God, dependent on Him. And there, in the realities of life, which are so great and so overwhelming, that mere men can truly know our own hearts in those moments. That confusion, that fear, that depth of sorrow, that bitterness of the soul, that depth of darkness. And we often find ourselves in those moments dependent, like that baby. We don't know what to do. And then we get better. And the sun begins to shine and life's okay and we don't need God today. And we keep Him for those days and those moments, heaven forbid that they come, but we forget to recognize our daily dependence on Almighty God. And it's in those times of sorrow, in those times of fear, in those times of confusion, in those times of darkness, where the words of Romans 8 not only show us our need for dependence on God, but they also teach us of a God who knows, a God who cares, and a God who prays. What's that? A God who prays. Yeah. A God who prays. So would you read with me Romans 8, 18 through 39. We will be focusing primarily on verses 26 and 27. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul writes this to the Roman church, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy of comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, not because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this we hope we were saved. In this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he has seen? But if we hope for that which we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches and knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, would you now pour out your Spirit upon us? What a strange and alien passage this is. To think and imagine of a God who prays. There is no other religion in which this reality, this strange mystery happens. But within the Godhead, we see it so clearly. Oh, Father, would you comfort us? Would you grant us confidence? Would you grant us a newly understood dependence upon you in prayer? As a church and as married couples, as husbands, as wives, as children, as families, individuals, friends, and would you do something among us that we can't even ask or imagine? For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. As difficult as I may be to understand the doctrine of the Trinity or explain it, I once jokingly said, explain the Trinity in three words or less, or two words or less. And everybody always snickered until Bill Stork said, Mighty God. And I go, okay, great. There's always a smart one in the group, right? Mighty God, but isn't that so true? But when we think about the Trinity, it's so hard to explain. God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there are areas in which the interplay between the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a mystery, but they also become a comfort. And there's nowhere more evident that we see this than in prayer. In prayer, in times where we recognize our own need, where we are unable in our weakness to even know how to pray, we are told that we come to the Father in prayer, we come through the Son in prayer, and we come with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. So that all of God is at work in prayer as we pray, but even beyond our prayers. And what a profound confidence for the Christian to know the mystery of the Godhead is that God is praying to God for us, on our behalf, in full knowledge of our weakness, in a way that we could never even truly understand in our own person. And when we pray to the Father through the Son, we looked last week at the confidence that and comfort that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, who we remember in Hebrews, we studied that he is our high priest. That not only does he come into the presence of God with a sacrifice like in the old days for himself, no, he is the perfect sacrifice, and he, the high priest, offers himself to the throne of God on our behalf. And God the Son, the great high priest, later on in verse 34 that we won't be looking at in Romans 8, it says, not only did he die, not only was he raised, but he is seated at the right hand of God the Father this very moment, this very morning, interceding for us. Oh, how amazing that God the Son, who came and lived in the weakness of our life, who knows our temptation, who knows our sorrows, who knows our brokenness, who wept in mourning, in that clear knowledge, he intercedes on our behalf. And God came to Moses in the burning bush, and it's incredible if you study that to think about what he is actually saying. He says, Moses, I have heard the groanings of my people. I have seen what their taskmasters have done. And then he says this incredible thing, and I know their suffering. I know, not just I have knowledge of. I, in their midst, am a God who experientially comes into the midst of suffering in order that you will know that I know your suffering. Wow. How amazing is our God. And oh, what joy and comfort it comes to us as believers to recognize that not only as we enter the throne of God, that we enter with profound and full confidence because Christ took our sin upon himself and God the Father imputed his righteousness to us, so that as we enter the throne of God, any time, any moment, be it in our car or be it in solemn worship, that he sees us and delights in us because he sees us dressed in the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so therefore he delights to see you. He delights to hear you because he sees you as perfect in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we become a church more dependent on God in prayer, We have too many churches that are independent and want to do their own thing. But I ask you to become dependent on God in prayer. We're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. So look with me at this passage really quickly. And I want to look at verses 18 through 25 that describe the brokenness of the world. That brokenness that I described in the introduction that all of you are well aware of. Or all of you will become well aware of at some moment in time in your life. Notice what he says in verse 18. Yet before describing the suffering, he gives a glimmer of hope and he tells us that this present suffering, what you're going through now, it's just momentary. And it's not even worthy of comparing of the glory that is yet to be revealed. And so he gives us this glimmer of hope. He says, you who suffer, this is just momentary. This is just a moment, and it's not even comparable to the glory that awaits us. And then notice he mentions three instances of groaning. He says in verse 22 that the whole creation is groaning. Why? Because of sin. When Adam and Eve took and ate in sinful rebellion against God, all creation began to groan. It began to fall into decay, and death entered this world. And nothing was the same ever again because of sin. And creation, we are told, is groaning. But then not only creation, verse 23, not only creation, but we ourselves. And he's not talking about people in general. Now, how do we know that? Because he makes a distinctive here. We who are the first fruits of the Spirit, i.e. that the Spirit lives within us. We believers in this world, this temporal reality, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And how sad it is when believers believe a false gospel and try to create a heaven on earth. That the way to get out of our groanings is to make things just perfect and right here. And they lose sight of that glimmer of that glory that is to await that we cannot even compare or even think about, understand in our frailness this morning. And then finally, he comes to verse 26 through 28. Creation is groaning. You and I are groaning. And then we come to this amazing passage where it says we see the role of God, the Holy Spirit, in prayer. And notice the Holy Spirit that dwells in you this morning. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. As we begin to understand the frailty of life, as we begin to understand the brokenness of this world, as we begin to sit and mourn at death and decay of bodies. He knows our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Meaning we ought to know, but we don't. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself. And here's the prayer. Intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That is good news this morning. Because if you were to express your groanings at any moment of your life when you have been in the deepest pain and sorrow and brokenness, if you were to express it on a Sunday morning, we would probably turn and say, somebody get the white coats, because somebody's going crazy. And the Word of God says that the Spirit takes those unutterable groans and he prays with those groans before the throne of God. Oh, they are not heard We cannot express them out of fear. But the Spirit knows those, and he hears them, and he takes them, and he intercedes before the throne of God the Father with those very groans that we could never, ever express. How glorious to think about the dignity that brings to our brokenness. That God doesn't just say, as often we have heard, "Hey, get over it. Stop. Stop. Will you stop crying? I'm sick of your crying. Would you just grow up and get over it?" No. No. Not the Spirit of God. No, he hears and he listens and he takes and he intercedes. And the Spirit knows, it says. He who knows, he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit. For the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So I want you just to notice a couple of things about the intercession of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, sadly to whom we give little deference and we ought to give far more. First of all, notice this. When we do not know how to pray, God the Holy Spirit does. In those moments of our weakness, when we don't know what to pray for or how we ought to pray, not only does the Spirit know, but he intercedes for us. So what are those times of weakness? So I mentioned some already, that those moments of profound pain, those moments of profound sorrow that we've been familiar with, times of suffering because of sin, but times of suffering because of temptation. Those times we fight the good fight and we say no to sin and yes to righteousness, that begins a process of suffering, where our bodies begin to ache and groan for that idolatry to which we have gone again and again and again. And that detoxing of our soul from sin creates an ache and a suffering in us that the Spirit says, "I'll tell you exactly what I know to pray because I know your sufferings." It's also in times of choice and decision. When we are faced with numerous options, all which seem good, and which path should I take, Lord? Should I take this job? Should I take this raise? Should I change jobs? Should we move? Should we not move? All of those times of profound indecision where there's nothing necessarily wrong. I don't know how to pray, God. Can I pray for this? This is my heart's desire. But I don't know what your will is. I don't know what to pray for. And it's in those moments that the Spirit knows what we do not know. And he prays and he intercedes because he, as we will see, he intercedes according to God's perfect will. But then there's just everyday life dependency. On those good days of life, how about this one? God's laid on my heart. I pray regularly for my children's spouses. I don't know them. I don't know where they're going to come from. I don't know where they are this very morning. And as a parent, I am so profoundly dependent on God. God, have mercy. Raise them in the love and admonition of the Lord. May they not know harm this day. May they not fall into sin this day. I don't even know these children. God does. I pray for my children's children, who I may not meet, that in this wicked day, in this wicked age that we live in, that they would rise as mighty oaks before the Lord in righteousness. I may not see that day, but God sees it. Are you dependent? Are you begging God for that which you do not know, for those you love so deeply? Have you found yourself in a place where you go, "God, unless you work, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, God, but you do." Would you have mercy, O God? Would you, in everyday life, I don't know if the recession's going to come. I don't know if I'll have a job. You do, God. Would you meet me? What are those places for you? Those places of everyday common dependency that we're frankly too smart to take to God. But we desperately need to take to God because He knows that we don't. And it's there that the Holy Spirit meets us and He actually utters prayers on our behalf with full knowledge of what we need. And then notice the second thing, with full knowledge of who God is and His perfect will. He prays in accordance with God's sovereign and good and perfect will. And then we ask the question, well, then why should we pray? Because in our prayers, we meet God in a way that transforms and changes us, that makes us hunger and long and be dependent on Him, to see Him shine. And we get to bask in His glory as we see Him answer prayers from the longings of our heart. And all of a sudden, we raise holy hands and we say, how good are you, O God? And other people go, what's the big deal? It's a big deal because I met God. I met Him in prayer and He changed and transformed. And He intercedes in accordance with God's good and perfect will. But then also notice how He prays. He intercedes with groans too deep for words. And as I think about this, I think about any number of different things that we've already spoken about. Those times where the breath and the prayer are sucked right out of our souls and we don't know where to go. God takes those and we've already prayed. But there are other moments where we wonder, God, do you hear this person? There are folks that we know this morning, some who are watching, maybe some who are listening, who know loved ones who will never speak a word. They don't know what to say. There are those that are separate, whose loved ones, their mind is gone, and they don't speak anymore. Where is God? He's in their heart listening to their prayers. As only He can, because He's such a God of grace, of mercy. He doesn't listen to the proud. He doesn't even care about our these and thous in prayer, Jesus tells us. But He comes to those who cannot speak. I'm reminded as I was preparing this, Dwight Preston. Dwight was a man older than I was at the time, in his 30s and 35, and had outlived himself, probably because of his saintly mother who loved him dearly. And Dwight had Down syndrome, and I've never seen a purer love for Jesus than Dwight. He would talk, he would go to worship, and he would sing, and then he would show me his notes from the sermon, and they were all the same letter. Oh, and he loved Jesus with a love I could never, ever, ever attain. And I thought, where did that come from? The man can't write. The man can't express himself. But I've never seen a purer love for Jesus than Dwight Preston. Oh, how wonderful, how amazing. That when we cannot speak for ourselves, whether we are able to speak or whether we're not, we have a God who prays for those who cannot pray for themselves. Be amazed Be amazed at a God who prays for you to himself in the wonder and the glory of the Trinity. I'm so grateful for the Trinity, aren't you? Oh, all religions go, I'll throw up a prayer and maybe he'll stick and maybe he'll hear it. I don't even know if he will hear. I don't know. We pray because the Son came and he died. And he takes his wounds and he intercedes for us with those wounds so that God the Father hears. And we have God the Holy Spirit all in one, and how it works, I do not know. The God the Holy Spirit who resides in the mess in which we live. Jesus, who's not ashamed to call us brother. And both pray. And so, brothers and sisters, I ask you, are you dependent? Are you dependent in everyday life, every moment of every day? Are you learning a constant dependence on God? The Church of Jesus Christ, in this wicked day and age, where we do not know what next year or next election cycle or next whatever will hold, whether we will be free to worship or not, today learn dependence so that you'll be ready for that day. Oh, come and worship and come to pray and come to learn to pray and come to pray together and come sometimes just to sit in silence and allow the Spirit of God to pray. Because we're not just invited to pray to God. We're invited to pray with God. We're invited to pray with God, and in doing so, to not just pray with confidence and passion, but with comfort and assurance, knowing that our God knows, and he himself intercedes on our behalf. So wherever you are today, whether you're in a place of deep pain, whether you're in a place of profound sin and darkness, whether you're unable to speak the realities of your heart, I invite you to come and pray. Do not be afraid of being dependent in your weakness, for it is there that God invites you to know him, to trust him, to find confidence and comfort in a God who intercedes and prays for you all the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are an amazing God. The scriptures tell us that you can do far more than we could ever ask or imagine, and our men's group can't imagine. We've been talking about life, and there are things we can't imagine. And the Father, you can't imagine because you are God, and the Spirit prays. We're grateful for that. So as we come to the table of the Lord, I pray, Father, that you would meet us in your grace and mercy, that you would transform us, and as these elements are passed to us, I pray that we would receive mercy and grace, knowing that Jesus the Son intercedes with wounds yet visible in heaven. As we partake today, that he is transforming us in this moment, because he intercedes for the very sins that we have confessed, the brokenness and the weakness that we bring to him, he knows and he intercedes. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name.